Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio, it gives me the greatest of pleasure. Matter of fact, I'm tingling right now to bring my much younger brother, like a son to me, the one and only James Edwards. In some ways, I still hold a grudge against that dude because, you know what, he's the one that brought me into this damn business to start with. I had no idea I'd ever be into this. Didn't even want to be in the radio. And we were on the mean streets of Memphis, me and James, and all the political excursions we had. And I know you won't be surprised, but none of our candidates ever lost. Ever won. we always backed losers. But James got the radio show going, and he asked me one day, "Hey, man, you want to come in and help me out in this radio show?" I said, "I guess so." And good God Almighty, it's been 23, 4 years ago, and the rest is history. And got into this, and we just never knew it would go this way. But listen, all you people know, you can go look at our website. I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the rack. I always try to get the best people I can get, and everybody and his mama knows the platform of Blood River Radio. I like people to come on there that can really do a good job and do a good job for our people. After all, it's all for our people. And I'll tell you what, people, there's not hardly any. There's enough money in this thing to keep us on the air. And that's about it. But anyway, without further ado, I want to bring my brother, my warrior, fellow warrior fighting, and we always fight against white global genocide. That's why we do this. But anyway, now I'm going to shut the hell up. How you doing tonight, my much younger brother at arms?
Well, it's great to be back with you tonight, Pappy. And I say back with you, back on Blood River, yes, but back with you. It was a week ago tonight that you came on the second hour of TPC, and you were reporting live a week ago tonight from downtown Manhattan. And, of course, that was just a couple of days, I think quite literally 3 days before the election of this past Tuesday. And it was just a really electric hour. I was just telling you in queue a moment ago before we came live here on Blood River tonight that I got a lot of emails and text messages from all of the TPC faithful commenting on how good it was to hear you back on TPC last weekend. And it really was. I mean, actually, I'll tell you, folks, I had asked Eddie because I didn't want to encumber him back there on the eve of the New York Marathon with him being so busy in Manhattan, of all places. And I had originally asked Eddie just to come on for a quick segment to say hello, just to, you know, give the audience a hello from the seat of the empire. And it ended up, but one segment went to two. And then I asked him, is there any way you could stay for three? We ended up doing the whole hour, and it was really good. And so I think we'll maybe recover a little bit of that, but that's sort of what got us here tonight.
You got that right. And I've had many, many people say, including my oldest daughter and my wife, that, and they said this, and I'm not trying to make us look greater than we are, but they said that the chemistry between you and me, James, it's just comes on once in a generation. We just had that. I can't explain it. I don't know why it worked, but there's always been a natural chemistry between me and James, and that's the way it works. It's just always has been, and I felt a blood kin to you immediately, almost. There's something about us. There really is, and I've always enjoyed that. Have we always been alone? I mean, have we had our ups and downs? Well, hell yes, but I mean, who doesn't? I was had ups and downs with my dad, but it is so great to have you back on Blood River Radio, and I know our listening audience will love it. But you said that you'd like to recover some of the ground that we did last week, and I think that's great. And I will just say this right here, having to do with that, me and my daughter, we were on the streets of Manhattan the night of the election. I'll say this right here, and it curled my hair, and I got so mad. I had no idea, James, that there were so many Hispanics and whatever you want to call them in Manhattan. They had all up and down Broadway. They had rented, my daughter said, they had rented the spaces out there, and they had the loudspeakers. They had the Mexican flags and I guess Guatemala flags, wanting how wonderful Mexico was and how wonderful Guatemala was, and this is their country. And I was just, I'd say this, just cussing and telling them their shithole Mexico was so great they need to get their ass back there. My daughter kind of reeled me in. But, you know, you could get in some serious trouble, do that, but it just made my blood boil. But that's what happened that night, James, and it showed clearly who is running the greatest city in the United States, the greatest city in the size of population. And they've taken over the greatest state. And with that, California, with that, I'm shutting the, you've been so good to come in tonight, and I love you so much. This hour belongs to you. I'll just call you son, because you like son to me. So go ahead, son boy. We used to call Judge son boy. One more thing. Winston Smith used to be in the blood, TPC. He gave all the nicknames. He's the one named me the Bombardier. He named James Baby Boy. He named Art Frith, who just run the board, the Lord of the board. With that, I'm shutting up, and I'm going to shut my mouth to son boy, and you take us on to the bar, son.
Well, I was just thinking that with you having been in New York, of course, was the reason Keith Alexander was out last week on TPC, and you came in and filled in that second hour that we just mentioned, and it was live from New York. And one of the things that I think that I enjoyed most about that hour was the fact that even as Southerners, I mean, we were remarking about you being as Southern to the core as one can be, being up there and enjoying aspects of New York. And we were talking about how, well, I mean, you know, one can, if you forget about the war and you forget about what New York City stands for and represents today, you can at the very least marvel in the fact that a city with skyscrapers that reach to the heavens were built by white men. I mean, you can go back to a time in the early part of the 20th century, and you remember those iconic pictures of the workers on the steel beams, you know, all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet in the air, no safety harnesses. They're sitting there with their lunch pails, people at the ground waiting for one of them to fall so they could take their job. And, I mean, that is sort of the spirit of the West, in a way, to build these cities, to conquer everything, conquer the elements, reach for the stars. And there is something about New York and these major cities of the world that have been built by white people that certainly stirs our spirits. And so,
yes,
I would say there is that. But with regards to the elections of this week, and we'll be talking about it a lot, Keith and I'll be talking about it in TPC at length and coming up as soon as this show wraps. But it, you know, certainly wasn't a surprise that Mamdani won. You look at the history of New York, and here are the statistics, and it's just there's really no more commentary that needs to be offered beyond this. In 1925, New York was 97% white. In 1950, it was 90% white. In 1977, it was 77% white. And in 2025, it's 32% white. 32% wow. of the population of New York City, that being Manhattan, where you were last week, and of course the boroughs, 32%. And with that having been the case, it's almost surprising. Everybody's talking about what a big surprise it was for the Republicans to have lost there and to have lost in Virginia. Like, this is some big groundswell for the left. But, I mean, how could they have won in New York? If anything, the only surprise was that Mamdani only got 50% of the vote. I think that's pretty much you know, shocking. It means, you know, some Hispanics voted for one of the other candidates. But nevertheless, that is why you have... They call him favorably a socialist. I mean, he's a hell of a lot more than that. He is a radical, radical white-hating Marxist. And this whole thing, I mean, this is the communism, the most murderous ideology in the history of the world. That is who you've got as the mayor, and that is why you've got him as the mayor, those demographics that I just read.
Yes. I think I sent you something, James. He belongs to this organization, this Mamdani, to what is the Democratic Socialists of America, and what it is. And believe it or not, you think the Democratic Party is radical? It's nothing. They hate the Democratic Party as much as they do the Republican Party, they being the backers of Mamdani. And they want to overthrow the Democratic Party and make it much more radical. And keep in mind, we always say this, never forget, people, those people hate white people. They hate us. They want us dead. If you're just now tuning in, if you go back to the first hour when Will Franklin said that the Jews set him up. He said he has a clip of Mamdani meeting James, whether he's wearing his little yarmulke, meeting with a bunch of high-powered rabbis. But I'm not going to.
I want to talk about that too.
Sure,
we can get into that.
I don't know about you. I didn't know about that until Will told me about it, because there's so damn much news out there. You can't possibly cover it all. But as you well know, as much as I do, we're getting ready to go to a break. But as soon as we come back from that break, you lead us anywhere you want to go. People that come on our program, I always like them to take the lead. I always tell everybody, I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the rack. I like to get the best people I can get, especially people I love, to come on and push the platform of Blood River Radio. It's not really the platform of Blood River Radio. This platform is a platform of Christian white men and brothers, our brothers and sisters of the United States of America. Whoever can help push that platform forward, that's who we want on this show. And our dear son, James Edwards, is here tonight doing it. And without that, we're going to come right back to it. Just a quick break, folks. This is a short break. Don't be gone long.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio, I tell you what, Jock Ewing had it right. Power is something you take. Ain't nobody gonna give you no power. Speaking of power, one of the original guys in the TPC, it was, you know, I came along later. There's several people there. We won't talk about them. But one of the guys who was essential to TPC in the early days, in fact, he was what we called him our foreign correspondent. His name was Peter Scoop Stanton, if I remember right. He was in Rota, Spain, in the Navy. And he would call in and tell us all kinds of things happening in Europe and with the Navy and all kinds of stuff like that. And just so happens, he has called in tonight. And he's going to come in. He's going to tell us hello and just be a part of us. He's part of our family. We've been knowing him for years and years and years. So how you doing tonight, Scoop? I'm so grateful you called in, brother.
Right. Good evening, James, and good evening, Bombardier. I'm driving around listening to Blood River Radio, and that's one thing about us. Yeah, we host on Liberty News Radio, but we also listen to Liberty News Radio. And you're talking about the election of Mandami in myself and my two co-hosts, we were all born in the city of New York, so we know a lot of the city of New York. And I haven't been there in about 15 years. I have no desire to go there. And I told my daughter, she's got a school trip going up there. I said, you are not going up to the city of New York until they get a new mayor. And New York City has a reputation of just electing bad mayors. Late 60s, early 70s, you had John Lindsay, then Abraham Beam. Then Ed Koch, he was a little bit better than the other two, but his third term, he went in the toilet. And then David Dinkins just absolutely ruined the city. Then it took Rudy Giuliani to rebuild the city of New York. Now, granted, I love Giuliani before September the 11th. So he did a great job. And then he was limited to two terms. So Mike Bloomberg came in. He was a good mayor, ran it like a business. I didn't agree with everything he did. And then we had Bill de Blasio. As soon as de Blasio won, we said, well, there goes the city. And boy, we are right on the money.
Wow, I'll tell you, and if I'm not mistaken, they've been, they being the powers to be, and we know who they are, they have been giving guy a lead that Giuliani held since then, since he got out of the mayorship. But to anybody that tries to do good where you're run by a bunch of reprobates, you're always going to land you in trouble. So go back to you, son boy. Take off on what Scoop said.
Yeah, I forgot about de Blasio. He was the one whose wife looked like the creature from the movie Predator with our friend Sonny Landham. That was definitely the beginning of it all. But I want to go through this take and get Scoop's response, because he is a New Yorker. So we'll see what he says. But in his victory speech, Mam Danny crowed, "We have defeated a dynasty." That's what he said.
Yes,
now he's referring to the Cuomo dynasty, who did nothing but protect, promote, and pander to non-whites for decades. I mean, that's the one that he thought was the enemy. I hope these dumb wops learned a lesson. The thing is that Cuomo was not the Republican candidate. I guess, you know, anybody who followed it closely would know that, but he basically was running on one of the 47 parties that have ballot access in New York City, but he was not the Republican candidate. The Republican candidate got 7% of the vote. Seven. But even if his voters had switched to Cuomo, it still would not have been enough to win. So here's one thing to look out for going forward. The latest Jew comptroller of New York is a guy named Mark Levine, and not the radio host. He's the money man. So him and Mandami endorsed each other, but there could be trouble ahead on that front. Levine wants New York City to continue to use municipal pension fund money to buy Israeli bonds. Mandami is vehemently opposed to that. And so I think Mandami is going to be squeezing the purse strings until he relents, which is going to anger his most anti-Semitic supporters. And meanwhile, you're going to be able to look forward to spectacularly unqualified non-whites as police and fire chiefs. That's coming. And then other than that, I mean, New York, not a big surprise. It's usually Democratic and always corrupt. The Republican candidate there wasn't particularly impressive, although the state was technically in play. But the big question about New York City, gentlemen, is will the Jews let New York City go without a fight? Because they control Wall Street, the garment industry, the local media, and Broadway. So what will they do to regain control, or will they just move operations to Florida? And who's going to be stupid enough to buy NYC bonds or invest in anything there, especially housing, after all this? Because I can tell you, as much as they like to unite together to stick it to the white man, non-whites and all of these different races that make up the Tower of Babel that is the United States don't particularly get along with each other well, and that's especially true of Jews and Arabs and others, and you've got a lot of them up there. So it's not going to be peace. It's not going to be tranquility. It's not going to be utopia. It's going to be hell, and it's going to get really bad, and it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top. But I'm not so sure that this whole thing, everybody feels good now if you're an anti-white, anti-Trumper, but a year from now, when what is inevitably going to happen in New York begins to reveal itself, I'm not so sure if this isn't going to help the GOP in the midterms to see what happens if you give the other side, and I mean the worst of the other side, you know, control, full power like this. Because in a lot of cities, a mayor doesn't have much power. A mayor can grant clemency and things like that. But In New York, a mayor is sort of like a king, so we'll see.
You know, James, I've also heard, you hear so much stuff, it's hard to keep up with it, especially with my old brain, but I've been told that in the past 5 years or so, maybe even less time span than that, that approximately 2.5 million New Yorkers have left New York. And out of that 2.5 million, it seems impossible. He said that between 600,000 and 700,000 Jews have bailed out of New York. Do you think there's any credence to that? Do you think there's any? What have you heard anything about that? The exodus, the mass.
That seems like that would be a lot of the of the Jewish population of the world, much less to leave one city. I don't know, but I just don't know. I couldn't say one way or the other. But I will say this, and this is this comes from a native New Yorker, and I will mention this if Scoop can sit tight and listen to this. This comes from a native New Yorker who just so happened to be, as Keith is here with me now, and as both of you gentlemen were with us, we were all together in South Carolina last year, just so happened to be our keynote speaker. Here's what he writes about the situation in New York, him having been born there in the 1950s. And he says, I've been surprised that some people on our side are being surprisingly sort of sanguine and dismissive about the election in New York. They're saying that people are overreacting and that, oh, he's just another politician and, you know, relax, it's good, and they don't like him, but it's not the end of the world. And he says, I think they've got it dead wrong. I think it's a disaster. Yes, he's going to make problems for the Jews, and I'm delighted about that. But unfortunately, he writes, it's a disaster for whites in New York and white it's throughout America and whites worldwide. This is beyond the demographic time bomb. This is the demographic bomb right in our faces. I think it's impossible to overstate what a disaster the election of Mamdani is. I was shocked that some people begin to say that, well, you know, you win some, lose some, but people who don't know much about New York City really shouldn't be talking about it. They are confused about what certain sections of New York are. It's like listening to a commentator give his opinion on Los Angeles and not knowing what Hollywood is. But he goes on to write, I was shocked to think back on when I was a kid in the 1950s, the men sitting on their stoop. And this is something that's really interesting. He said the men sitting on the stoop could hear Puerto Rican music coming up from the clubs by the docks, and they were really worried. Now those Puerto Ricans who pushed out all of us, all of the white people, are sitting on those same stoops, and they're hearing the sound of the Muslim mosques. And even though a lot of them are devout Catholics, and they're not going to go along with a lot of that stuff, but it was obviously libtard women who voted for him, and they're going to be in for a really big shock. The mayor of New York is not a dictator. He's not a king, but he is very powerful. And this is what I was actually just saying a second ago. Not all mayors are. Some mayors don't have much to do. The same with some governors. But the mayor of New York is a very powerful position. And to top it off, that horrible black Alvin Bragg was reelected as district attorney. He's completely anti-white. And he's turning all the blacks loose on the street. And I think it's interesting that Lander, who was the former comptroller, was a member of the Socialist Democratic of America Party, same as Mamdani. Scoop just mentioned that, I think. And the new some of the new Jewish people are, you know, of course, very upset about this. And so there's always conflict, but I think that an awful lot of people, he writes in closing, who voted for Mamdani are going to be in for a shock. Be careful what you vote for. You just may get it. Very, very downhearted about what happened to my city. It's happening all over America. I hope it can come back, but I fear if it does, it's going to be a long time, and it'll only be after some terrible set of disasters and some occur and where we re-inherit something like it. But anyway, so that's his take on what happened in New York. Pretty interesting.
You know, I'd like, before Scoop comes in, I'd like to chime in here. I guess it's kind of selfish because I'm thinking, I was telling Robin, if they crash New York, man, that we won't be able to have the New York Marathon, which that's one of the few things I'd like to do in life. I'd like to run marathons, and there's no place like there's no marathon like New York. It's a tough-ass marathon because of the bridges and the logistics getting there. You never know what the weather's going to be. Got hyperthermia there of the last in 2023, but here's what this Mamdani said, and you guys may have heard it too, and I'm going to ask Scoop about this. He said, for one thing, he wants to disband not only the SWAT team, Scoop and James, he wants to disband the police, and he wants to hire social workers in place of police officers to deal with these criminals. I mean, if that's true, can you imagine what New York City would be like that when we come back? I hear the music coming. When we come back, we'll get a little Scoop's opinion on that, and then we'll float that right back to James. We'll be right back, folks. This is a long break. Got about 4.5 minutes. Get you some coffee. Go ahead. Be right back in 4 minutes.
Thank you. pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. As the shutdown drags on, President Trump continues to pressure Senate Republicans to eliminate the filibuster. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
With the Senate unable to reach the 60 votes needed to end the government shutdown, the president said it's time to change the rules.
The way to do it for the Republicans is to terminate the filibuster. They call it the nuclear option.
Despite the presidential pressure, most GOP senators do not support ending the filibuster because it gives them leverage whenever Democrats have the majority. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Senator James Lankford says he hopes lawmakers can get around to fixing Obamacare when Democrats finally join his party in voting to reopen the government.
President Obama promised that health care rates would go down. Ask anybody if their health care rates have gone down, and they'll say no. So Obamacare is a broken promise, to say the least. And there are really practical solutions with health savings accounts, giving people more options of different insurances they can have. Even if you keep the pre-existing condition requirement, there are ways to do this that actually brings premiums down.
Lankford, in Oklahoma. Republican made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. Public policy expert Matthew Continetti says the issue of affordability hurt Republicans in last Tuesday's elections.
Drove a lot of the Democratic victories. Bad solutions like Mamdani offers, whether it's the rent freezes or the free buses or the communist-style government-run grocery stores, they're fool's gold. They're not going to work. They won't make life more affordable. But they beat nothing. And I think that the alternatives in these elections had very little to say about affordability and cost of living.
Continetti tells the Salem Radio Network the GOP needs to articulate their cost of living agenda. More on these stories, townhall.com.
In today's fast-paced world, professionals face endless projects, deadlines, competition. To thrive, you need mental clarity, sharp focus, and reliable memory. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor created ThinkFactor. ThinkFactor is designed to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that supercharges your memory and sharpens your focus. You can stay on top of your work and outshine the competition. After a couple of weeks of taking ThinkFactor, I noticed a dramatic difference in my clarity, my focus, even my memory. And you know what? The longer you take ThinkFactor, the better the results are. If you've ever felt mentally foggy or struggled to keep up with everything on your plate, well, ThinkFactor can help you reclaim your cognitive edge and thrive in your life. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, to order ThinkFactor. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com. Your first bottle, just $19.95. ThinkFactor. Think clearer, perform better daily.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand.
We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at LibertyNewsRadio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
In the morning. Smells like victory. Some folks
are born made. Here, Blood River Radio. Without further ado, because time is money and there's never enough of either, we're going right back to Scoop. Go ahead, Scoop, and tell our Blood River Radio family what we were talking about during the break, and do your thing, son.
Okay. Thank you, Bombardier. So, Mandami wants to spend $1 billion on something called Department of Community Safety, or DCS, where he would supposedly have teams of dedicated mental health outreach workers to deploy in the subway system, the subway stations, and also to, calls for service. But like I said before, these people have weapons on them. These people are not right in the head. And it's good that these people, it would be good if these people take care of the homeless people in the subway, but the NYPD has a homeless outreach unit to take care of these people. So he's just wasting $1 billion, just like Bill de Blasio wasted tens of billions of dollars on mental health. We don't know where it goes to. And New York City handles approximately 180,000 calls a year for emotionally disturbed individuals. And if you, a couple years ago, you had one transit officer with five of these homeless derelicts or skulls. And he had to fight him off with his classical baton, and that cop did an awesome job. And these people, you're going to send them to an apartment building where some guy with a machete wants to go butcher his wife. You're going to send two counselors? No, you need to send New York's finest. And it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a boondoggle. Money's going to go missing, and people are going to get hurt, and crime rates are going to go up, even though Police Plaza tries to juke the stats. Eddie, back to you in the studio.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you what. We just had a visitor. Well, he's not a visitor. Actually, he was on First Hour. I sent the article to James. James, I sent you an article that Will sent me. If you want to, since you came on, I'd like you to cover that article, the comments that Will said. Did you get it, James? You see it on your phone, son?
I will have to look again. I've been Danny has been gone all day, and I've had the kids, and we were at the Pink Palace today. We did the IMAX.
Oh, wow.
We did the planetarium, so if I knew you were going to call for it, I would have served it up. Let's see.
Oh, it just came in. He just sent it a minute ago. Well, by the way, since we're all family here, let me say, I was there the day. Miss Izzy. They're getting Izzy and Lizzie. The day she was born. God, I love that kid. This is totally off the topic of our show. But I used to love coming out to your place to broadcast, because I would ride the horses, Lizzie and little Henry, ride them horsey, wrestle with them, throw them around the room, and just like I do my grandson and my granddaughter. And I've sure missed those days. Of course, Miss Lizzie's a little young lady now. She can't ride her horse and throw her around. He could Henry, I guess. But got to miss those days. I know that's a big rabbit trail, but I had to say that because people, you know, as you well know, Scoop and James, people who listen to our programs, they love us. Well, some of them do. Some of them hate our guts. But the people that love us, they like to know what's going on in our lives, because we're a human. But basically, if you didn't get that, I'll cover it right quick. Like, let me go back in here and see if I can find it. I'm going to repeat what here's what Will said. He was on the First Hour. He says, the Jewish bastards want a major U.S. city to fall. They have tried it everywhere else. And New York City is in their sights right now. So, James, is he right about that? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, it is the base of their operations as well, especially in the diaspora. I mean, New York City, more Jews than anywhere else in the world, including Israel, except Israel. Okay, so, well, that's a no-brainer, and it's got to be I wonder what the Jewish population of Israel is compared to New York. But nevertheless, you know, so, I mean, do they want to destroy white America? Absolutely. Do they want to tank New York City? Well, I would have said no prior to Tuesday. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, but they do have a hell of a lot invested there. And again, are they just going to walk away from Wall Street? Are they just going to walk away from all of the, yeah, exactly. Are they just going to walk away from all those things that they have spent decades cultivating as sort of their crown jewel and their power? We'll find out. Because that goes back to what we were reading in a previous segment. I mean, there is going to be some rams locking horns there between the Mandami faction and the anti-Israel faction of his coalition, and then of course the Jews that have traditionally been the power base of New York City and America for so long. So it is going to be very interesting what happens over the next year. But would I say that the Jews are intentionally trying to torpedo New York? I don't know.
Well, Scuba James, it just came to me when I asked you this question. It just bingo, a light bulb that went up in my head, and I'll ask you guys this question, you precious brothers. Could it be that this is maybe a bridge too far, or, you know, I don't know. But could it be that they're thinking if they wreck New York City as the financial center of the world, or are they intending to move it to Tel Aviv? Are they going to make, like some people said, that the capital of the world, capital of the universe, is going to be Israel? I guess that's if you guys don't have crystal balls, I don't know. Is it a possibility that they said we're going to junk torpedo New York as part of the United States? We're going to take this center to Tel Aviv.
Well, it's fanciful. I mean, anything's possible. I would say, and I'd like to get Scoop's take on this, but it's fanciful. Anything's possible. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is just one guy, it's one mayor, and he's not going to be mayor forever, and they are eternal, as you know. So
yes, yes, they are.
So if push comes to shove, they could always wait him out. It'll be interesting to see if he actually does go to full on war with them. And if it does, I mean, no matter who wins, no matter who loses, we win in a way on that one.
You got that right. You're 100% right on that. If we could get, in fact, I had a friend, maybe I shouldn't say this on radio, but I guess I'll go ahead, Will. I went to school with a guy years and years ago when I was going to nursing school. He said he was like this big liberal until his parents sent him to the Lester school over off of Tillman. I know you know where it is, James. And so he said what they should do is give half of the kids in the high schools, the Memphis City schools, these really high dollar, what's the name, Michael Jordan shoes. I don't think he's playing basketball anymore. I don't know anything about basketball. Half the kids, Michael Jordan shoes, the other half, switchblade knives. He said that would solve a lot of problems. But I guess I shouldn't say that on this family-oriented radio show. But anyway, Scoop, we're getting ready to go to a break. But anything you would like to comment on that or anything else you would like to do? Go for it, brother.
Well, in terms of moving the financial sector to Tel Aviv, that's not going to happen because there's just too many variables over there. But what they are doing in New York with this, we're in the computer age, they are moving out of the city. Over $1 trillion have left in the past 10, 15 years. All these firms are moving down to Florida. They're moving to Dallas, Texas, and they can do their trading via computer. So all these businesses, these Wall Street houses, they are leaving the city of New York for other places within the U.S. of A.
And that was something that our friend had asked, will they just move, or at least a significant portion of them, to Florida and Texas? And Scoop, Eddie had asked before, do you believe that there has been a total of 700,000 Jews that have left New York in recent years? That seems like a lot to leave.
It does seem like a lot.
I really don't know. That is a lot. I'm not sure what the Jewish population is, because a lot of these people, a lot of these neighborhoods like Crown Heights, parts of Riverdale up in the Bronx are very, very heavily Jewish populated. And they'll let the rest of the city go, but they're not going to let their neighborhoods go.
You know, we'll say this. I've been there several times. My family first took me there back, golly, in 2007.
Yeah,
I was 60 years old. I was recovering from ICU. And I noticed this. This is anecdotal evidence. I saw very few Jews walking on the streets with their little small hats and their strings and stuff. Very few compared to the past. But that's just like, you know, that's just the one time observation. That's strictly not scientific. But go ahead, well, James. Let me interrupt you.
Well, I was just going to say very quickly before we take another break and lose track of this particular thread, it looks like there are 1.3 million Jews in the wider New York metropolitan area. So, I find it impossible that 700,000, over half, would have moved.
That's a hell of a lot of Jews. It sure is, because you know what? You know what?
In one city.
Yeah, because the Germans really...
I got to look up the Jewish population of Israel.
You know, I heard one fellow say the Germans in their Holocaust...
Keith says it's 6 million. Keith said the population of Jews in Israel is 6 million. That is the magic number.
Yes, that's right. You got that right. Well, folks, we're going to come back to our last segment with these two brothers of mine. We've been brothers for years and years and years. Be right back, folks.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. All of you people want to go eat, but the people that are still listening to us, thank you so much. I'm going to revisit a story because it really infuriated me. It has to do, I'll just say, the VA hospital here in Memphis has been completely taken over by Indians and the cardiology. You go up there in the VA hospital and you get this DEI surgeons and going from there. Listen, I left the airport for New York about 10 days ago in the airport in Nashville, Tennessee. I had to go through the x-ray machine because my cardiac monitor, my implanted cardiac monitor that you can see bulging through my chest, it's surgically implanted inside my chest, set the alarm off. I showed the TSA worker, who could not speak English, by the way, my surgically implanted cardiac monitor, and I had the card from the VA with barcodes that you can go in and see my entire medical history. They didn't give a damn. They're gonna make me go through the very dangerous Chertoff produced backscatter radiation devices. They're, by the way, they're produced in Israel. Willow was telling me these X-ray machines, but this Israeli Chertoff, he was one of that used to be in the Bush administration. Okay, that was bad enough. Coming back from New York, it set the alarms off again. You would think that they'd have to do, I told them, go to the Nashville airport. They searched me head to toe. I was clear. No. I had to go through their X-ray machine again, guys. And then I had to do the pat down. Well, get this, folks. I failed the pat down. How in the hell you fail a pat down? They could not explain. Of course, and by the way, these are all Hispanics, sand coons. And I asked them, I got really hot. I asked them, how long have you been in? Where were you in 1942 when my dad was fighting the Japanese in the Pacific? Where were you in 1950 when my uncle got killed at Frozen Chosen? Where were you in 1967 when I got drafted as combat medic? I've got to give you all this shit. I'm a combat veteran. I've been in the United States all my life. I've never been in prison. I got to go through this shit and take this some son of a bitch that's not even been in the country 2 years. Can't even speak English. This infuriates me. Well, they sent the supervisor to give me another pat down. I swabbed my hands down, said, yeah, you failed the pat down. I said, well, how? What did you find? They couldn't tell you. And I said, I'll tell you why you can't tell me. And I'm going to make this sum this up right now. People, the TSA system is put there for one reason. They don't save anything. They don't prevent any crime from happening. There's two reasons. They put it in there to get our people accustomed to being treated like a bunch of damn brainless cattle, to get you where you will submit to anything. People will tell me, can't you just go along and get along? Just quit raising so much hell. You're holding up the line. Well, but they couldn't tell me why I fell the second pat down, but they finally let me go. But what it is, it's designed to make people in general accustomed to acting like cattle and obeying their rules. Secondly, they always somehow single out old white guys like me, because they know people like me. We know it's the whole thing's a scam. So I'm gonna close with this right here. I will never, and I don't care if I lose donors, I'll never, ever, ever salute that stinking Yankee rag flag again. And if you have any of these so-called American flags, please send them to my house, because I want to buy. Have you seen the price of toilet paper lately? I will use it to wipe my ass with, and I will use it to put in my cat's case. I hate that flag. I hate that government. I love the people. I love the people in New York. The people in New York, by and large, are more woke than they are here in Memphis. In fact, I met with some hardcore Klansmen Nazi types there in New York. But it's not the people. I want you people to know that. It's a damn government represented by the stinking Jew flag. And I'll say this one more thing. I'm going to shut up and get off of it. If you take a cloth and you wipe the stars and stripes off that stinking Yankee flag, when you wipe that stars and stripes off, you'll see the damn Star David underneath it. Anyway, so much napalm for that, Pilf. I hope it didn't go off too bad. Back to you, James. Kind of pour some water on the old napalm fella.
Well, I was just going to ask for a comparison, because I have seen Eddie when he's gotten upset before, live and in person. And I would ask you two questions just so I can get a comparison on this. Did that situation with the TSA a few days ago, did you get more or less upset than the time you were eating dinner and the cop kept knocking on your door right your house? You remember that one?
It was close. It was really close. This spick comes to my door and says some crackhead said I stole his damn dog. And I said, I don't have the dog. I said, I don't love the, and I told him, I said, I hate dogs, which I really don't. And I said, if I had a dog, I'd shoot him in the head and eat him or some kind of crap like that. But this spick is standing in my doorway grilling me because somebody said I stole this dog. And then, and also because these spicks in these wannabe spick white guys had a basketball game out in the middle of the street where I live. So I'm complaining about the damn basketball goal being out in the street. The spick cop's giving me a hard time because you're coming down the cove where I live, the spicks were throwing basketballs in front of the car, dodging in front of the car, trying to start an incident. So, you know, they called the cops on me, and they said, the spick cop. And I told the spick cop, I said, well, Terry, here's the thing. I don't know how we do it in Mexico, but here's the way we do it. We don't drive through the yard so the little spicklets can play basketball out in the street. You know, that's insane. And I called the supervisor, some limp ding-dong major the next day, and he told me don't go to the mayor and all this stuff. But
you said you hated dogs. They asked you a few questions. Everything they asked you about, you said you hated. And you were wearing like a sweatshirt that had a deer on it. They asked you if you hated deer. And
yes,
you said,
I sure do.
I hate deer so, yes. you said I hate deer so much. If I see one on the side of the road, I drive off of it just so I can run over.
Deer and dogs. I said, I'll run over. I said, I'll go up in your yard, run over a litter of puppies. You know, I said, because they said, I guess you hate dogs. I said, you goddamn right I do. I mean, it got hot. I guess I need to learn to reel it in. But that really set me off. Here you are. And like I told Scoop, I don't hold myself up as anything special. I'm just a rather regular guy. But I mean, and like the Baptists, the Southern Baptists, and all these people in our government say, oh, we love the veterans. We worship the veterans. Well, I'm a combat veteran. Everybody in his mama knows that. And I was the draftee. I didn't join the son of a bitch.
They don't like veterans like you at Bellevue.
They sure as hell don't. They don't like me at all. I got shoved the door. They shoved me to but you know what? I'm going to take some literature back to their goon squad over there about the USS Liberty. By the way, they would not let the USS Liberty sailors come into Bellevue. Well, I'm taking out the whole sandwich,
y'all. I heard that right here on Blood River. I did hear that.
Sure did. And you know what? And they may have taken offense because they called one of their fly-by-night preacher. He's the what they call it, he's the missions minister. I call him a liar and a coward right there in his own church. And right there, it was when church was going on, out in the big foyer. That's when he said, well, I'm going to show you and introduce you to some people. I want them to see you. Well, I know exactly where we're going. And a couple of the goon squads agreed with me, wanted to hear more about the story of USS Liberty. But they sure as hell won't let them in because they said, here's what they told me, the Liberties, the Liberty sailors along with me, that we had a hateful spirit, some kind of crap like that. But back to you, James. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hold down.
Yeah, we're not even chasing rabbits right now. You're chasing jackrabbits right now, and the big ones. But no, I was going to say real quick, if Scoop's still there, there was one thing that we'll get into it on TPC, but Scoop not only has ties to New York, he is a Virginian now and has been for many, many years. What about that governor race there? I mean, I can't imagine why white people in Virginia didn't come out and drove to vote for the black immigrant woman from Jamaica with a hyphenated last name.
But, James, here's the thing. I voted for that black female from Jamaica because, believe it or not, she's one of us. But if you look on the map of the election, 90% of Virginia voted for Winsome Earl Sears. But the tip of Virginia, Northern Virginia, the D.C. suburbs, all voted for Spamberger, and that's why Spamberger won. And we're going to talk about that tonight on 75 Radio, how Virginia is turning into the new Illinois.
Well, that's what the left always likes to say, right? Land doesn't vote, people do. But to your point, you are correct. I mean, the whole state of Virginia. But I got you.
James,
no, but you're right.
Real quick, these leftist pinko commie Democrats that live in Northern Virginia with me, they love DEI. They'll DEI till the cows come home.
Oh,
they
had a chance
to vote for a black female immigrant to be the first governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So they voted for the white lady.
That's a good point. That's actually a good point. Not that I'm surprised that you would make a good point. You always do. But that is something to think about that I hadn't considered yet. Well, I tell you what, Eddie, it is good stuff all night tonight. It is Blood River for the last 3 hours, this hour particularly fun. And Scoop's coming up as our fourth hour on TPC. We got TPC coming up. We got one of your homeboys, Eddie. We got one of your regulars, Don Wassel's going to be on to talk about the NBA betting scandal. How could $100 million in career earnings be enough when you could join up with the mob and fleece people at rigged poker games? I mean, these players and coaches. What?
FBI
got them.
As you remember, a long time ago, we had Don on with TPC when I was there then on Cast Football. And we'll have to have him on to do Cast Football. Yeah. Don is a smart guy. I don't know if you know. I don't know if Scoop knows or not, but Don was one of the founders of the Populist Party, which I was a member of it.
Yes, he was.
Every political thing we've ever been associated with was just failed. But golly, guys.
I got a T-shirt in a frame. It says, Vote Populist, Don Black for U.S. Senate's got Don Black's face in the middle of the T-shirt.
Yeah. I gave my TPC shirt away to a fellow up in Charlottesville.
Yeah, you autographed it and gave the shirt off your back.
Sure did.
Hey.
He got his. guys, I had the more fun I could ever tell you. It was so great. It was like old hometown back when Scoop used to call in from Rose Fame. But thank you so much, James. Thank you, Scoop, for coming on. It was fantastic. I know our
the highlight of the night's coming up when Scoop comes up at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yes, sir. Well, I know our listeners loved it, especially the OTPC guys. I got to get off the air right now so TPC can come on. So thanks again, James. Thanks again, Scoop. God bless you guys. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Blood Radio audience. Good night, everybody.